It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. See Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We got clarification on a few things today, Waddle. We found out the actual pronunciation of the Bears' new offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor.
It's Lazor.
Yeah.
Laser focused. Laser style offense. Mitch throwing lasers? No.
Freaking lasers.
312-332-3776 if you want to talk to us. Want to play you some of the Matt Nagy stuff. First, here's his explanation on the hires.
Okay.
So do you want to... Who he stand offensive line coach out.
Juan Castillo in.
Juan Castillo in. Bill Lazor out.
No, Bill Lazor in.
Bill Lazor in.
Mark Helfrich out.
Mark Helfrich out.
Yes.
Ragon moves to passing game coordinator.
Correct.
John DeFilippo in as quarterback.
Correct.
Coach.
And some guy whose name is escaping me now took over as the tight ends coach.
Here it is.
It's never an easy time at the end of the year when we meet and go through those difficult decisions, but it's about looking forward. And I think starting off with Bill Lazor. It's been exciting in the last couple of weeks being able to go through the scheme eval and go through some things and get some ideas and his background of where he's been at as a coordinator and his expertise with that. You know, we have a relationship that goes back several years, so that part was good. John DeFilippo, we go the whole way back to college. We were quarterbacks against each other and competed, and him coming in here, I have a lot of respect for him as a quarterback coach. Moving Dave Ragone to pass game coordinator is, I think, really, really good for Dave and his growth in this league. I'm big on having guys grow through us, and so that'll be a unique opportunity for him. Clancy Barone coming in as tight ends coach, and then Juan Castillo, who I was with in Philadelphia. So excited about those. We can talk more in depth later, but I just wanted to update y'all from the last time that we talked here in Chicago.
We got Clancy. That's
we got Clancy. Yeah. Listen, you can hear he's excited. He has surrounded himself with guys he's more familiar with, and that's the nature of the beast. He talked about a lot. I know you've got other tape over there. Flip, he loves Flip and his ability to guide Mitch. There was a lot. He was very excited today.
You want him talking about Flip?
I think that sometimes with all different positions, I'm not just saying the quarterback, but with all different positions, you can say, okay, we're going to take the gloves off, right? And we're going to get at it now. And I think that Flip in his DNA has that. You'll see that. You'll take notice.
Are they going to box or what are they going to do? I mean, we're going to take the gloves off and do what?
Here's more on DeFilippo.
Yeah, he's had a really cool path as well. He's, again, worked his way in this league for a long time as a quarterback coach, then went on to be a coordinator. And now he's at a point where we've always talked about working together. And so what I see with him is somebody, to each their own, but he's a guy that comes in as a quarterback coach that there's going to be real big with drill work, with fundamentals, with really seeing the field. And we talked about with Mitch with processing and being able to understand that. He's an expert at that. And that's no slight to Dave, because Dave's in a great role now of schematically in the passing game. But sometimes, for all of us, if you hear a new voice, sometimes it can help. And I think that Flip is I like his aggressiveness as a teacher. And you guys are going to see that in camp. You're going to take notice of that.
The one thing I do like to hear is stressing of the fundamentals, because Mitch needs to clean up his fundamentals. And that's what Flip is going to help do, is try to clean up some of his fundamental flaws.
Here's a question for you. I know it's probably because of the CBA, but why can't Mitch watch film with the coaches now? This ain't college. This is their real job. And I know there's probably something in the CBA that they can only be there. But if Mitch wanted to go there, why couldn't he? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, other than, this is their way of making sure that film session doesn't turn into an on-field session. Look, it's just, this is one of the collective bargaining agreement issues, is how much time teams have with guys in the offseason, because that was a focus in 2011, giving these guys more time off in the offseason.
Doesn't it feel collegey? Like, oh, yes. It's the offseason. He's got to go to class, and there's only so many times you could spend. You're not a real football player yet. You're a student. Well, yeah. These guys are. He's getting $12 million this year, $11 million. It's a make or break year. Why can't he be at the at the facility breaking it down with the coach. I think that's odd.
I mean, who does he think he is? Joe Burrow at LSU being in the building 24 right. hours a day?
I mean, listen, you're a 25-year-old fourth-year pro. You should be able to watch the film on your own and know what you're seeing.
Yeah, that's true, too. Here's Matt Nagy on what we wanted to know. Are you going to still call plays?
Yeah, I'll be calling the plays, and we do have a lot of guys that have called plays. And so for me, y'all don't get to see it because you're not in the meetings with us, but a lot of times we'll talk through, you know, why would you make this call or that call? And that's growth in myself, too, as a play caller.
Did you feel like you talked a lot about self-scouting today?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. I never thought he was going to give up play calling duties, but the one quote I read, and I don't know if there's a clip of it, about him not trying to fit the quarterback into his system, but not just quarterback, but other players, but try to adapt the system to around the guys. I thought Matt talked a lot, too, about acknowledging the things that he didn't do well and getting better at things himself.
Here's what they asked him. They said, how are you fixing this offense?
Scheme-wise, what did we do well last year as a team? Offensively, we know we struggled in a lot of different areas, but we're about fixing it, okay? If we're okay with what we did last year, then we're in the wrong place, and we're not. So we gotta fix things, and so how do we do that? Well, we get good minds together that talk it through. We're real with each other. This wasn't a good play. This wasn't about the players. This was about the coaches, right? And when you can do that and show accountability, then you continue to build that trust. And so our goal is to be a lot better offensively, and if that's less is more, then great. And whatever that is, we'll work through that the whole way to training camp with all those coaches.
He said at the beginning of that soundbite this.
Scheme-wise, what did we do well last year?
And then my answer would be nothing. Did they do anything well offensively last year?
If you could put your finger on it, really, no. I mean, statistically, they were bottom of the barrel in most categories. I don't think that you didn't protect your quarterback exceptionally well. You didn't get your quarterback on the edge enough. Allen Robinson had a hell of a season.
Right.
He played exceptionally well.
You didn't run the ball well. You didn't throw the ball well.
I don't think you mixed things up well.
They did perfect the Mitch overthrows the receiver on the deep ball.
Right, yeah. And that side route that yes. he was like, what did he say? That
he was banging it in
he
practice.
He was banging it all week?
Yeah.
Is that what he was saying, banging it all week?
He may have said something different, but
ripping.
You know what I'm saying.
I think
saying.
He said ripping it.
He was ripping it,
banging it, whatever. I mean, he was hitting it. Listen, I thought Matt had a skip in his step today. I thought Ryan was kind of like, oh God, I got to really defend my quarterback again. He seemed almost dejected.
You know why?
Because he had to defend his quarterback again.
The coup.
Nagy's making his way.
He named all the soldiers.
Yes, he has
the
soldiers in place.
He named all of his captains. He named everybody that's in on the coup. I got DeFilippo in here. Bill Lazor.
Lazor. He's got laser on his back.
Oh, Castillo's going to outwork everybody.
Juan.
He's going to lead the way.
Yeah,
with
you stay in the film room, Trubisky, because guess what? The coup's coming.
He was asked, Matt Nagy, do you have unwavering support for Mitch Trubisky?
I do. And when you say, you know, unwavering, you're coming down here. This will be, you know, his going into his fourth year. And for us, if we all think that that's what we want from him from last year, then we're fooling ourselves. He knows that. We know that. But at the same time, we need to be real what's around him. And that's where we're at. And I know it's hard sometimes for all of us to understand that. And you see what's going on, you know, with the instant gratification now. But there is a process for us. And so now I do know that Mitch is very hungry to he understands that we want him to play better. He understands that we want to coach better. So now we cannot worry and dwell about what happened last year. If you do that, you get stuck in mud. We can't do it. It's clean slate, and now we got to get better for this year.
If he's hungry, buy him a sandwich. You know, I mean, like, look, I'm telling you, they're in. They're in.
They're all in.
Well,
they got their message right, at least.
Yeah.
But are they really all in? If Cam is available, hey, Chicago, this is Carolina calling. The medicals check out. We'll send you the files here shortly. His foot's good. All we want for him is your sixth-round pick.
Oh, I don't think. I think you're going to have to give up more
than
that.
You're going to have to give up more? No, really?
How much currency do you have? What are you willing to give? If the coach doesn't make the decision, the GM does, and the GM is the one that drafted him, and the goobers behind the glass with their coup talk, it's not going to happen.
What did he say there too about the instant gratification? Like it's our fault.
It's fourth year.
It's our fault that we want more than 27th in the league. Shame on us for watching Patrick Mahomes win a Super Bowl this year and the MVP the year before us. That's silly on us that we want instant gratification.
Both guys also talked about what? People around him. Ryan Pace talked about it. Matt just said it as well. We understand what's around him. They realize that this is what I think. They think that he can't do it on his own. Where they were hoping that maybe he could elevate you. Now what they need to do is elevate him with more talent around him. That's how they feel.
I want to get to some calls here. Al's in Lamont. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Al.
Hey, guys. Just hear me out real quick. Let's kind of use the sink or swim method this year. We tried it last year, but this year really has to be sink or swim for everybody. There is no point. We are not getting Cam Newton or Brady or any of these guys. You spend $1 million, $2 million on a backup. That's probably max because you need to allocate whatever minimum money you have to tight end, to line, to defense. There's no money for a big name backup to compete. So this year is sink or swim. Let's see what happens. We'll staff him with a good crew around him, and if he fails, he goes down. It's it. Next year we got a first round pick. We got a normal draft class next year. Then we start building all over again. But we can't do anything with a backup and rely on a competition in quarterback camp. It's going to be Mitch. Let's just deal with it and let's try to fill the other positions with whatever cap space we have.
But Al,
that's
this
the logical choice.
Al, this defense is ready to win, and you've got some things in place already. And what if you can win the division like Tennessee did? And it is
we don't have.
But I mean,
but we
like,
don't have. I know what you're saying, but we don't have the money. You can't spend $13 million, $15 million on a QB and keep Mitch on the roster. You're going
to
cut him.
You'd have
and to. Don't even tell me Derek Carr's coming. That guy's a joke too. Let's not. It's the same guy. Let's see what Mitch can do with a real tight end. Let's go put somebody into a tight end that can actually play 16 games, and let's get the offensive line put together. Any quarterback in the NFL could be a stud with a stud offensive line.
Al, I tend to. I'm agreeing with your premise just in general that look, this team is built for a first contract quarterback to lead them. They don't have the capacity to build in the other areas. Look, would they be better with Cam Newton? Absolutely. But you'd have to give up draft currency, and you're paying him. So now how much do you have left to upgrade yourself? Listen, if you run that same group out there with Cam, you'll be better. But how much better will you be offensively? You'll go from 29th in yards per game and 29th in points per game to what? You're still going to struggle to protect the quarterback. You're still going to struggle to run the football. You're still going to have to find a tight end. So will he make you better? Yes, he'll make you better. How much better? I don't know.
We'll ask JD that question. And did Matt Nagy really say that results from Mitch don't matter? We'll play you that next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Some more direction in regards to the process, and when I say that is under he is young still, and I know we keep saying that, but he is, but you also now you give direction, and now he needs to follow it. And that's going to be what we're really focused on is making sure that he does that. And don't worry about results. Who cares? Worry about the process. And if he does that, we'll be in good shape.
Oh, boy.
Come on.
It's going to find
results.
That's going to find itself somewhere attached to Mark Trestman's comment, isn't it?
Matt Nagy out of context.
Don't worry about results. Who cares?
That's a
drop.
Worry
about the process.
That's a drop, isn't it? We're going to have a team that's selfish and undisciplined. That's the ultimate.
Well, yes. I mean,
strange statement.
He completely was telling the truth.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I understand what Nagy is saying, right? He's saying that in preparation, don't worry about throwing for 300 yards or four touchdowns. Do every day as every day, and that will eventually take care of the results. Yes? Isn't that what he's saying? That don't worry if you're the top 15 quarterback. Don't worry about throwing for 30 touchdowns. Don't worry about going 12-4.
Should I worry if you throw three picks in your first 14 passes in practice?
Don't worry about results. Who cares? Worry about the process.
Well, we're going to have a team that's selfish and undisciplined.
Nah, I can't tell them. Okay. Like, listen, this is what J.D. and Dan Wiederer were on this from the jump last year.
They trusted their eyes.
Yes.
That's it.
So, I mean, we can have that approach, but if we get to training camp again this year, this time in Lake Forest, and you're seeing some of the same struggles, I can't buy into the
don't worry about results. Who cares? Worry about the process.
But if the results, again, are an interception every three passes in practice, I'm concerned about that. People blew that off last year.
Well, not everyone.
No, I mean the majority of folks did.
I don't know how you can, especially when you're not playing preseason football.
Listen, I think
every rep is important.
I think we spent a lot of time in the offseason not only talking about the quarter or the kicker, but also talking about an offense that trailed off in the second half the year before, and an offense that was going to need to pick it up and carry the load even more so, knowing that the defense was going to come back to earth a little bit with regard to their explosive plays.
It's possible for a guy to have a bad camp and a good year.
Sure.
You should not have been surprised on opening night in Green Bay when the offense did nothing, because that's everything that those reporters saw.
Yeah. Against Green Bay.
Yeah. Against Green Bay.
Yeah.
You can't, you know. JD is on the Corona hotline. He joins us from the combine right now. JD, did you have an issue with Matt Nagy saying don't worry about results, worry about the process?
Not particularly. I mean, I thought when he said it, it was a little unusual. But I think that's basically like the off season, like what's happening now. Like as we start going through training camp and the workouts, when Trubisky's healthy enough to come back from his shoulder surgery, I don't think he meant that as in don't worry about the results when the regular season gets here. I didn't take it like that. I thought, from my recollection, he was just kind of going through like what they're going to work with him on now, like in the immediate future. But if they're not worrying about results, well, why are we doing this? I mean, I think they're very worried about results. And I also think, Sylvie, if you listened to what he said maybe a little earlier, he admitted that, I mean, there is a big sense of urgency to figure things out and get that identity on offense. You can't wait 5 or 6 weeks into the regular season and expect to know kind of what you are. I think that's really been a big effort here, is to try to figure out with these new coaches, a little more experience, you know, a little more comfort level with Nagy, what in the world they are on offense. Because last year through 16 games, there was no identity to speak of whatsoever with that group.
Well, JD, as we were talking just before you came on, you and Dan Wiederer were two guys that were on this issue. Something to be worried about from day one of training camp. My guess is if you guys see similar performances day in and day out from Mitch, you are going to worry about the results on a day in and day out. And you're not going to stress the process. You're going to say to yourselves, boy, this looks a lot like last year at this time. And we all know how that translated in the regular season.
Oh, there's no question. And again, I think he was just saying, like, as they're going through it, Trubisky needs to just work on what they're telling him to work on, and maybe some things aren't going to happen the way it's supposed to happen right away. I didn't view it. Now, maybe I just missed it. I mean, I was standing there right next to him. I didn't view that as, like, him sloughing this off and being like, you know, we don't care about the, you know, the results. We just, you know, care about other things. No, I mean, guys, you know, this has not been an easy off season for Nagy and for Pace. You know, there were a lot of expectations last year, and it goes a lot deeper than just the fans being disappointed. You know, they spent a lot of money as a franchise. They redid that whole building. Tom has been there.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You know, the Bears, not breaking news here, but, you know, they've been a little reluctant in the past to maybe spend lavishly on certain things. But now you know, the family's spending money, and they're giving the players and the coaches, like all the creature comforts you can imagine. It's been, you know, it wasn't that long ago where the dining room at Halas Hall was like one little room, and they would bring in Chipotle on Friday. So I love Chipotle. Don't get me wrong. But now it's like they've got this state-of-the-art cafeteria, professional chefs. I mean, there's everything you can imagine. So when the Bears pay that money, guys, they expect to see results. You know, they thought they were back. They jumped the gun. They thought, hey, we win 12 games. But again, doesn't that just kind of show you that, yeah, the 12 wins was nice, but it was still a first-round home playoff loss. So it wasn't like they had arrived or anything, but that was kind of a little bit of the feeling
right
last year. And I really think this knocked them back down, and now they know that they don't have a lot of time to get this right. I mean, if they have another bad year in 2020, guys, for this regime, it would not be looking very good.
JD, does Ryan Pace keep backing up Mitch Trubisky because he still totally believes in him and he's not lying to us and he's telling us the truth? Or is it because he's the only quarterback and he doesn't have to say anything different until they get a new quarterback?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I believe that he believes that they can still salvage this with Trubisky. I think Nagy has to just go with it. You know, I think that I think what's going to really happen this year, guys, is they're going to, you know, and you started hearing it today, they're changing what they're doing offensively. I mean, they're going to totally change, maybe not everything, but there is no way that they're going to put him in the position where they want him throwing the ball 50 times a game. He can't do it. They got to run. They got to set up some play action. And they have to hope, guys, that when the plays are there, when, like, it's set up with the play action, that he can make the throws. Like sometimes he did, but we saw a lot of games last year where he missed those throws. So it wasn't that the plays necessarily were totally out of whack last year. It's just that when they had it set up,
yeah,
he missed.
That's
a killer.
Did you hear any? I mean, I read the quote that he said, mm-hmm. and to me it was like just as you just described. To me, it's a grand transformation from, hey, this kid's going to have to play in my system because this is my system, to, it's not fair to everybody to do that. We're going to have to tailor what we do to the talents of our guys. And that seems to be a huge change.
Big shift. Big shift. And I liked what he said, what Nagy said about Andy Reid. And just how, you know, look, Andy Reid has reinvented himself over and over again. And, you know, Nagy's like, hey, in Philadelphia, we ran a true West Coast. You know, they're not running that in Kansas City. And he said that, you know, 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, the offense now in KC is vastly different than it was just 2 years ago when he was there. So that, to me, is encouraging. He understands. I think he really does. You know, hopefully the new coaches, he has a little more, you know, comfort level with like a Bill Lazor. You know, he likes DeFilippo. They kind of go way back. They haven't coached together before, but they've been friends for a long time. You know, they put Ragone in this role as a passing game coordinator. They're bringing Juan Castillo, who Nagy knows really well from their time together in Philadelphia. So I think you get enough of those coaches together with experience,
right,
and they're going to tell you flat out, we can't do what we did last year and expect to win. Now, are they going to become like the Titans with Derrick Henry? I would say probably not. You don't have Derrick Henry here, but you got to change your style where you're asking less of the quarterback, but you're still setting up the big plays,
right,
and he's got to hit those plays. And I think that's what we're looking at here this season.
Well, with the quarterback position in mind, they cut Taylor Gabriel, they cut Prince Amukamara, they've created some cap space. Do you expect them to spend the majority of their currency on upgrading the positions around Mitch, or what do you believe they'll do at the quarterback position this offseason?
Well, they're going to have to get somebody in here. I mean, they can't go into the season, they can't re-sign Chase Daniel and say, here we go. I mean, that's not realistic, I don't believe. I'm not saying that Chase Daniel has no value. He certainly does. He's a really smart guy, and he helps. There's no question. But you need someone that's going to be at least a threat to take over if this goes off the tracks.
Who is that?
During the regular season. So I think they will absolutely acquire somebody, either in free agency, trade, or something. And then they should look hard, too, at some of these developmental guys in the draft. I mean, this is not a bad draft for quarterbacks. What will be interesting is, you know, like, do I think they'll take a So I think they'll take a quarterback in the top 50. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a little rich, you know. You took Vic second overall just 4 years ago, so you got 2 second round picks. Do you take a quarterback there? I'm not so sure about that, but I think at some point you got to really think about it. I mean, if like a Jalen Hurts, just for example, you know, around in the fourth round, fifth round. Now they project to have 8 picks total, and they think they're going to get 1 compensatory because of the Amos signing with the Packers last year. But right now, Pace don't know first round pick, of course, so they're missing some rounds, but they will have 8 total. So I think, Tom, what they really should do, quite frankly, is they get some sort of respected guy in here to be the number 2 and then draft a developmental guy. That's what they really should do. I don't know if they will, but that's what I would do. But either way, that position has to be addressed. As for the other spots, so guys, I am not Mel Kiper. Definitely not. But this is a great draft for wide receivers, okay? And you guys have heard this, I'm sure, from a bunch of people.
Yeah.
There are so many wide receivers here. It's like if you miss on a wide receiver in this draft, you know, if you're pulling Joaquin Iglesias this year,
Kevin White,
you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. And I think they got to get a receiver. They will. They need help at corner, of course. They need offensive line issues. There's a right guard opening right now, and some of their other offensive linemen weren't too hot last year. They got to get a tight end. They'll probably have to buy a tight end, is my guess, because it's not a great tight end class for drafting. They'll have to spend money on a tight end. They brought in Harris, who goes back with Nagy, but he's more of a Y. No, they need a U.
Yep.
They say Trey Burton's ready by training camp. Guys, we'll believe it when we see it. So there's a lot to get done, and we haven't even gotten to the defense where they could lose Quentin Dix. They'll probably have to re-sign Kwiatkowski if they let Trevathan go. There's a lot going on here. So, yes, I think a lot of those resources would have to be spent, you know, helping, not just giving Trubisky weapons, but giving them the type of players they need to be successful in this new altered scheme that I think they're going to run this year.
JD, great stuff. Enjoy the rest of the combine, okay?
Thanks, JD.
You bet, guys. Great catching up, boys.
Yeah. Good talking to you. There's JD, Jeff Dickerson. All right, Waddle's World is coming up next, and why is Dick Pound trending? Dick Pound. He's a man in charge of a very important sports story. We'll tell you why his name is trending next.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him. And he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
That's right, John. Waddle's World is brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/finest. Member FDIC. Who's this Dick Pound you spoke of before the break?
Dick Pound is one of the longest. I think he is the longest. He's got the longest tenure on the IOC. The International Olympic Committee. And today he said that, you know, there's going to have to be some progress in fighting the coronavirus, or else there could be a risk of canceling the Olympics this summer in Tokyo. They need to know by May, according to all these, his statements today.
Just like the Mitch Trubisky deadline.
Yeah. Yes, right. But he's saying, look, you guys need to make progress by the end of May, but said indicators show it will be business as usual. The games, remember, are set to be held beginning July 24th.
In Tokyo.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So Dick Pound wants to get this thing taken care of. So
who is it?
He's the longest.
No, what's his name?
Dick Pound.
Okay.
And he's the longest tenure.
What's his name?
IOC member. Mr. Pound.
Richard.
Richard Pound, if you're nasty.
A lot of things have to start happening, said Mr. Pound. You've got to start ramping up your security, your food, the Olympic Village, the hotels, said Dick. The media folks will be in there building their studios.
It is a fantastic name, is it not? I mean,
Dick Pound?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
I prefer Dick Pole.
Right? He's the former pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
How about Dick Trickle?
He's a former race car driver.
How about Dick Johnson?
Richard Johnson.
No, Dick Johnson.
He's the news anchor at NBC 5.
That's right. Pete Sack?
He's the weather guy at NBC 5.
Peter?
What else? Keep it going.
I think I'm done. I think I'm done. I don't think I have anything else.
Harry Cockburn? He's a columnist. I'm dead serious. I will tweet out his picture if you don't believe me.
All right, all right.
Don't tweet that picture out.
I'm going to tweet that picture out right now.
I can't do it. Go ahead.
On a lighter note, and this isn't a lighter note, Yankees right-handed pitcher, Luis Severino needs Tommy John surgery. Had all of the... stuff on his neck. Who was that pitcher that had the...
That was Pineda.
Oh, okay.
Michael Pineda.
That was Pineda. Tommy John surgery for Severino. That's not good. Joe Burrow says he will play for the Bengals if they draft him.
You like his approach with all the small hand comments?
Yeah, I think he makes light of them.
You have to.
Yeah, he's not... I'm not going to not draft him because of his hand size. But again, Patrick Mahomes' hand size was a quarter of an inch bigger. Now, I get it. Every quarter of an inch counts, but...
Damn right.
I don't think that he's going to struggle fumbling the football like Dave Craig did back in the day when his size 4 and a quarter.
I still could not find Dave Craig's hand size. What do you think your hand size is?
I don't know.
I have considerably small hands, as people say.
They're wide.
Like, so how big do you think my hand would measure at?
I don't know.
Where am I at? If Joe Burrow is 9 inches.
Probably 5 inches.
What do you think? I mean,
Full stretch, five inches.
Here to there.
Yeah?
I mean, we could call it.
So it's like the diagonal? It's like on the big screen TV?
Yes,
you measure diagonally.
That is correct. So the screen size is actually the diagonal measurement.
Right.
That's how they do
it. So it's pinky, tip of the pinky, the tip of the thumb.
Yeah, so I don't think that Joe Burrow
get
is...
Go get the ruler out.
You got one of those in your shaving kit, Meller?
I can't say that I carry a ruler with me.
Really?
No, I don't.
Anyway, so Joe Burrow says he's going to play for the Bengals if, in fact, they draft him. Tua expects to get a full medical clearance on March 9th. You all right? Not going to throw or participate in on-field drills at the combine, but he will hold his own pro day on April 9th where he expects to throw for teams. So we'll see. The Giants say they are open for business for their fourth overall draft pick. Absolutely, we're open for business, Dave Gettleman said on Tuesday at the NFL Combine.
So do you think that's where someone could take
Ryan Pace moves up to draft.
To draft who?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Bill O'Brien has given up play calling. He's handing over those duties to offensive coordinator Tim Kelly next season.
Protect their quarterback better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Tom Brady wrote a very impactful essay on the impact that Kobe Bryant's death had on him or Kobe Bryant's, his experience with Kobe. I guess they were fairly good friends, and Tom Brady drew a lot of strength from Kobe Bryant, his approach to things. Tom Brady's going to be the focal point of a lot of football conversations coming up in a few weeks, days, months. Lions general manager says Matthew Stafford will be a full go for off-season workouts in April. Remember all the conversation about Matthew Stafford and whether or not he was going to be traded? I don't believe that's going to happen. Jalen Hurts says his future NFL career will be that of a quarterback. He is not going to change positions. And there's a lot of other football stuff that is kind of ancillary, except for the Vikings. They're not going to trade, or it doesn't look like they're going to trade wide receiver Stephon Diggs. And the Jets say they're not planning on trading running back Le'Veon Bell. So that's some good football news for you.
A lot of good football stuff. And Trey Wingo's coming up at 4:15. Don't forget.
Do you see this story about an ex-U.S. Marine who just set the Guinness record for holding plank for more than 8 hours?
So plank is what? You're like forearms and to elbow and your tip
kind
of your
of
toes?
Like, I think so.
I think you've done a decent job of describing it. Yeah.
Subscribing to it?
Sorry, I was...
So you're like in a push-up position, except you're on your... almost like your forearms?
Yes. Yes. And you have to engage your abs and essentially... It is
How long?
Over eight hours. Right?
Over eight hours, 15 minutes and 15 seconds. He's George Hood, 62 years of age, and he's from Naperville, Illinois.
He's on every night under the hood right here on ESPN 1000.
Also a retired Drug Enforcement Administration supervisor special agent.
The odd thing is, for a man who can hold a plank for over 8 hours, his abs are not nearly as defined as you would think if you see a picture of him.
It's 4 to 5 hours a day in the plank pose, he told CNN. Then I do 700 push-ups a day, 2,000 sit-ups a day in sets of hundreds, 500 leg squats a day. For upper body and the arms, I do approximately 30 arm curls a day.
Wow.
He's 62 years old.
All right, so would you rather, how many push-ups?
He does 700 push-ups a day.
And then how many sit-ups?
2,000
sit-ups. Would you rather do 700 push-ups in a day or 2,000 sit-ups?
2,000 sit-ups.
You would?
Yeah. I don't know if I could. Well, wait a second. So I could definitely do 700 push-ups.
It would in a day, you think so? You wouldn't get too sore? That's a lot of push-ups in a day.
Well, you'd do 100 push-ups an hour for 7 hours.
Shot.
Are you kidding me?
No shot.
Do you think if we gave Waddle this, I don't think Waddle could do 700 push-ups in a day either.
It doesn't matter
right now, whatever. You could do it. You have all day to do it. I think your body would give out.
No, I think I could do it.
300, 400, you would be too sore to even go another 20.
I think I could probably do it. I'm not going to attempt it.
That would be the ultimate
trick.
Why would
I want to do that?
I'm not going to do that.
So, I got a marijuana story for you and a Chick-fil-A story and a voodoo doll story for you when we come back.
And by the way, get in your Would You Rather entries. We do that at 4:30. It's all next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I know what you guys have been thinking. How much is that marijuana weed sales thing benefited our state since it became legal? Isn't that what you've been wondering?
Yeah, I mean, does it dent the deficit that we have in this day? Can it fill a pothole at least? What about that?
Recreational marijuana sales in Illinois generated more than $10 million in tax revenue in January. State collects an additional cannabis tax on recreational marijuana sales. January sales generated more than $7.3 million in cannabis revenue and more than $3 million in sales tax revenue. So, in total, the state's gathered more than $10 million in tax revenue.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's better than not doing it.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm not sure how much of an impact.
Let's get the gambling up and going.
I'm not sure how much of an impact it has. No, and that's not a good thing.
When can I go to Hawthorne and play? When can I go to Arlington and play?
When? That's a really good question. I'm not 100%
sure. Can I go to Rivers Casino in Hammond?
I know, and it's fantastic, and we're going to continue to go there. I'm asking for our state, too.
How about this? Man spends $98 on a plane ticket just to get Chick-fil-A. Group of upstate New York students craving the fast food chicken, famous for its very, 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 very delicious nuggets and other tasty treats. These guys bought a $98 airplane ticket just to secure the food, yet they never boarded a flight.
What? Because it's in the airport?
Yes. So Vincent Petrino, a senior at Rensselaer Polytech Institute in Troy, hatched the plan during a week when he and his track teammates had a break from competition and wanted to feast on the Chick-fil-A stuff. The two closest Chick-fil-A locations were either an hour and a half away or 15 minutes away at the Albany International Airport. Through airport security, opting for a shorter drive, they decided to buy an airline ticket.
Now, let me ask you this question, because I've played the airline shenanigans before to break a story or two. And my trick used to be, before security, but I would imagine you could still do it, is buy a refundable ticket. Can't you buy a ticket like $1,600? It would be expensive, but then you end up not using it. You go through security, but you never board the plane. You buy your Chick-fil-A, you go back to the counter, and you say, you know what, I want a refund. Because it's a refundable ticket, therefore you're not even spending the $98 in total.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure how that works out. I'm not sure if once you've printed out the boarding pass, whether or not you have forfeited your opportunity to do that. But we'll figure this out. I'll call somebody.
No, I'll call somebody. Because that's what I used to do when the Bears would bring in a prospective free agent. I would want to interview them before the mass media.
So you'd go to the gate that they're flying into.
I would go to the gate, and you would need a ticket, and I'd buy a fully refundable ticket. So it would be an astronomical charge. I got put on a list or two, I'm sure.
Right.
But therefore, I was allowed back behind security.
Abdallah, tell me this about the ABC has plans to spin off The Bachelor again, and this time for senior citizens.
So there wasn't like a story or anything. So the Bachelor Nation is up
crazy
in arms yesterday as Peter doesn't make a decision. We don't know if Madison maybe walked off after finding out that Peter spent the night with the two women in the fantasy suites. Of course, that's what fantasy suites are for. That's what they're made for. You spend the night with the girl and then you figure out, you know, whatever. He's dating three girls at the same time. Anyway, during one of the breaks, when they're going to break, sometimes they show up, hey, Chicago, hey, Los Angeles, we're coming to your town. If you're interested in auditioning, fill out here. But there was one that says, we're looking for seniors for our next Bachelor.
Oh, I would
like,
watch that.
I was like, wait, hold on. Rewind a second, because I need to see that again. And I want to know, now the average age of the average Bachelor contestant is like 25. So are they just trying to say we want people above 40? Or are they going to go for actual senior citizens? And I also want to know, is this like a situation where maybe the guy's like 28 and the lady's like 65? And maybe the lady's like 65,
okay,
the guys are like in their
30s.
Robinson. 25?
Here's your answer.
Okay. You have more info.
Casting call for people over the age of 65 who are looking for love.
Let's do this, because my favorite in-between break at Bulls games are the old people who dance. I could watch that thing all day. I could watch that more than I can watch the Bulls. So I think my first Bachelor episode that I would ever watch would be the old people version. I think that would be hilarious and fun. Would you watch Waddle?
Why is their advanced age something that draws you to the television?
Because do they want love?
Are you like you? Do you have some? I don't know what question to ask.
No, there's no fetish here. This ain't a fetish. I know what you're thinking.
I just don't know.
You're asking me if I have an old person fetish. The answer is no, Waddle. I do not have an old person fetish.
You sure?
Can we check your search history?
Yes, absolutely. Check my cookies.
Excuse me?
Those are oatmeal cookies.
Yeah.
Oatmeal raisin.
Now I want some Chick-fil-A and cookies.
Who did I
so
just...
So again, why do you want to see the old people do this thing?
I think it's... Like, I like to watch them dance at the United Center. I figure it'll be cute. Old people looking for love. You know?
And
will they put out like the young people too?
Excuse me? That only happens during the fantasy suites. Come on. The Bachelor is a sacred bond.
You should do like a 30-second update every week, Abdallah. That was good. Like,
there's only two episodes
watch,
left.
But,
yeah. The women, we get the final. We get the second to last rose, and then the women tell all next week. And then after that, Peter's got to make a decision.
Peter's got a big scar on his forehead, doesn't he?
Yeah, so
what happened? My wife has, for some strange reason, started watching it. And I saw Bruce Pearl on a week or so ago.
The basketball coach?
Yeah. So Madison's dad is an assistant at Auburn under Bruce Pearl.
Oh.
So Barkley actually recorded a video.
I saw it.
Yeah. For them, saying that, you know, like, you take care of Madison. This is a good... And he has
a
scar.
Does Madison sweat a lot? She's not related to
Bruce
Pearl.
She's not related to Bruce Pearl. Her dad is an assistant.
Coach.
Yeah, under Bruce Pearl. Yeah. He has the scar because there was a golf cart incident where there was a bump in the golf cart and a glass broke and he like reached and cut himself with some glass and now he's got a big scar on his forehead.
It sounds like a Bachelor party.
Has this thing started to, like, is it on its way to jumping the shark or is it...
Never.
Never?
No, never.
Okay.
Never.
This is another story where I can't understand. This happens too often. Hapless Scottish bank robber forgot to cut the eye holes in a makeshift pillowcase mask. I mean, come on. It's starting to become a joke, isn't it? If you're going to wear any type of mask, if you can't see, how do you expect to do what you need to do to rob a bank?
Right.
Like, if you're going to rob a bank, maybe you're not the brightest bulb
you
on the tree, I
clinic.
Get it.
You should do a robbing
it
bank
It just
clinic.
Doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're going to put a mask on, you have to be able to... What?
We got to take a call in 2 minutes, because someone just came up with the perfect idea for the new Bachelor show.
Okay.
And it's synergy and it's everything.
Oh, boy.
But you should do a clinic.
I see it.
Yeah.
I see it.
All right, so we're going to take this guy's call next. We're going to talk about a possible strike in the NFL, too. It's up in 2 minutes.